Blog Talk Radio.
I love that theme music. I know I said this last week, but it reminds me of like a 70s sports show, like Bill. What was the show Bill Mazur used to do on Channel 5 on Sunday nights? What was that called? Sports Extra or something like that? So we need like a good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Man on Radio coming at you. It's Jim and Eddie. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
What's going on out there, ladies and gentlemen? Look at this. Ranger chat room here at the Blue Shirt Bennett. Jam packed tonight. I'm excited. I got a lot to talk about, and a lot of it I haven't actually spoke to because I really don't know. And I guess you're going to tell me, and everybody's going to tell me what's been going on. So who's who? Mandar.
Who's this new? You see this new guy, Mandar, that's in there? It's nice. It's always nice to see new listeners.
Yes, Mando, welcome to the program. We love you.
Haven't seen him since Frank Beaton.
Yeah, when Frank Beaton hung up on us. He had to go. So anyway, take it away. How are you? How is it going in Jimville?
It is 94 degrees here today.
Holy
94, an absolutely picture perfect day. See when it's dry like this, you know, I can anything up to 105 is really nice. Once you get up to 110, 115, then it really starts getting miserable. But today was 94 degrees. There's a nice breeze, and out on my patio, it's nice and cool. Good evening to everyone in the chat room. Roll call soon, I promise you. We'll get to it. We got a lot to talk about tonight. Oh, and I want to say this at the top before I forget. We always joke about our sizes. You know, how we're kind of separated at birth as far as our girth is concerned. Well, on Monday I began the diet. I'm on the diet. This is day three. And I'm kind of using you as an inspiration. What's that?
Who's an inspiration?
Me. You, actually. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I was thinking about it, and I thought about something that you said to me. And, you know, you kind of feel like you ate everything. And I'm kind of using that as my... What's that?
That's how I feel. I mean, let me just take up a couple seconds here. I feel like I have eaten so much in my life. I mean, like, of every possible thing that I love. Like, I love mashed potatoes. I've eaten a pound of mashed potatoes. Trump's, I can tell you when. It was at one of Donald Trump's, the Trump Marina. I was so full, I had to go up to the room and rest for an hour. I ate a pound of potatoes. Right? You know.
So, you know, I kind of thought about it, and, you know, it's kind of like an athlete that's at the top of his game, and like Elway or Gretzky, and kind of says to himself, well, what do I have left to achieve? And, you know, when I thought about it, I thought, well, you know, I've eaten the numerous Big Macs. I've eaten all the Milky Ways I can eat, and, you know, the next one's not going to taste any better than the last one, so... So yeah, I'm on day three of this diet, and so far so good. I'm able to. I need a little help though when I diet. I need like something to kind of stave off the hunger, which I am doing. I've got these Xenadrine fruit drinks that are doing very well. They keep me from being hungry during the day. They've also managed to keep away my cravings for chocolate and things like that. So far so good. And my goal is to be 20 pounds lighter by the NHL draft, which is the end of June, and then I'm shooting for 40 pounds by the start of next hockey season. So that gives me until around the first week of October to shake off 40 pounds of lard, and then I should be down in the 400s, and I'll be in good shape. I'm just kidding. It's not that bad.
First of all, I applaud your endeavor. Just do what makes you feel comfortable. Listen, I'm a chubby bastard. I'm probably going to be a chubby bastard all my life, but I have actually lost some weight. I don't count. I ran into Kotze right before the Rangers season ended, and he's like, wow, you lost some weight. And he goes, I'm jealous. I was like, I really didn't even notice because, I see myself on camera. I'm like, oh, boy, look at that fat bastard. But anyway, you know what happens, though, and you haven't hit it yet? When you get older, the appetite, the voracious appetite that you have, it starts to wane a little bit. And you don't really try to eat in mass, quantities, or what the Coneheads used to say. Yeah, mass quantities. But still love my pizza. All right, now enough of the food talk, and I wish you well on that journey.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And yes, pizza is always that might be the hardest thing for me to always have to give up. I got to do it.
People used to say this to me. I used to say, yeah, right. But have two slices, a regular. But then I was like,
please.
Yeah, right. I have two slices stacked together when I eat them.
I could get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have two slices of pizza while I'm on the toilet. I mean, two slices of pizza. What's that gonna do for me? That's dessert. Anyway,
Engelbert did the Bad News Bears. I think it was the really awful one when they went to Japan, and he's sitting on the toilet eating Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Best because he's good food. Yeah. All right. Anyway.
I'm having a very hard time hearing you. You're breaking up, and I don't know if it's me or if it's you. Guys in the chat room, can you let us know if we're breaking up, if I'm breaking up, if Eddie's breaking up? Let us know. But, Eddie, I'm having a hard time. You're kind of cutting in and out.
All right, let me adjust my settings. Let's see what we got here. Baba Booey, looks all good on my end. So to speak.
Got the engineer in here. All right. Well, that now you actually sound better. So, all right. So let's get to it. Phone calls tonight, 646-478-4692. We're going to get to phone calls in just a little while. We kind of want to get to a couple of the things that we didn't get to last week. So we want to get through those, and we'll take some phone calls in just a little while. So if you're already on hold, and I see there are a couple of you there, just bear with us for just a little while. Lots of news. I guess we'll start with the latest news that came out today. Rumors, just a rumor. Olli Jokinen possibly following in the footsteps of Steve Valiquette to the KHL. Laurie over beyond the blue shirts. She broke that news early. It was a story came out of Russia. So, Ollie's going to go stink over to KHL for a while after stinking in New York, I guess, Eddie. Or he might be anyway.
Ollie, Oxenfried! I think they used to say when you, back in the old days, when you used to play kick the can or hide and seek for everybody to come out or whatever. Good riddance to bad garbage. Cool. He didn't fit in the Rangers' plan. Not at the money he's getting. Or probably the money he wanted. He was about as much of a rental as there was going to be. He was technically their trading deadline move. They just about said that last year. So I'm not going to miss him. I think it's going to be a joke for a long while about last year's season going down the toilet because of Olli Jokinen on that famed or infamous penalty, a shot attempt. That's fair.
And see, and Mandar stepping right back in and proving why we miss him. So he said, who will Torts use now as the third shooter? That's why we miss Mandar.
Yes.
So, good riddance to Olli wherever he's going, as long as he's not a Ranger next year. And I'm fine with that. Valiquette, same deal. Without Valiquette, okay, and obviously it looks like he's out of the picture now. But can we please from day one have a backup goaltender in place from day
right.
one, who we trust as a backup goaltender, not a 20-year-old kid who's not ready for the NHL, who we have to shuffle back and forth with another 20-year-old kid who's not ready for the NHL so that we don't get caught with our pants around our ankles when Henrik might have a bad night. We got to throw this kid to the wolves like last year. Can we have, like, an Alex Auld in place from day one?
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much to
ask. Get somebody in there. Give us some confidence. You know what? You know, we talked all about it last preseason in the offseason about how Henrik's going to get rest and, you know, we'll look at him to be successful. He has to play this amount of games in the 60s. He broke the record last year playing most games. So I hope, yes, get a veteran goalie in there that we can trust to be a capable goalie. You know, we're not taking a chance. This guy's not getting on-job experience in the net at the cost of some wins. Let's get somebody in there. It ain't that hard. Come on. And, you know, it's, again, and, you know, I was sick of the Chad Johnson, Matt Zaba act being called up every other day. And, you know, and just the fact we had a report on that crap all of cheese me off, and they said, well, you know, we don't keep him with the team because Horford's so close. You got to get a goalie in there who's part of the team that they play in front of and practice every day. Again, it's hockey 101, and for some reason, John Tortorella at times doesn't want to subscribe to the basic hockey tenets. You have an experienced backup goaltender that is traveling with the team all the time.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, Chad Johnson, how, I mean, you got to think that a little bit of his development was kind of stunted by just kind of sitting around being Henrik's towel boy. I mean, it's a full, you know, he should have been, if they have faith in him to be a goaltender in the NHL, shouldn't he have been in Hartford all year getting, I don't know, 75% of the starts as opposed to bouncing back and forth and getting sent down to Hartford on the off chance he could make a Friday start and come back up to be the backup on a Sunday or something.
Exactly. This is basic stuff. I don't know why it was mishandled so badly. It's the little things too. I mean, you know, we already know the obviously bad big things that are wrong with the team. But these little things, these loose ends, are never tied up. It's like, I don't know. I find it very unprofessional in a lot of cases. You know, you got to run your organization like, you know, like we're on the ball about everything. Everything was like, like I said earlier, fly by the seat of your pants. You know,
yeah.
Depending on, you know, whether a little quiz was hurt or a matchup or a team or back to back. Keep the one goalie up, whole year, and a story.
And I mean, you know, it's not like this is would be a new organizational concept. I mean, the Rangers have almost always had a veteran backup goaltender. They had Glenn Healy. They had I just lost my train of thought. Glenn Hanlon. You know, they had a certain guy, Bob Froese. Little shout out to Frosty there. They've always had a veteran backup. Kevin Weeks was there to back up Lundqvist. I know originally he was going to be the starter, but didn't. You know, he wasn't that good. But at least he's a veteran backup. I mean, how do you? It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. It's something they absolutely positively have to have fixed for next year.
It goes with the same thing that we said on previous shows. I don't want to beat it to death, but. Why not a seventh defenseman? That's basic organizational practice. Why are you bucking the system? You're not a trailblazer. I know you won a Stanley Cup, Torts, but you're not a trailblazer. I can tell you that right away. And as far as Valaket goes, das vidanya and ciao.
Yes, farewell to Spider-Man. One of the best masks in the league, but you'll have to wear it in Russia and enjoy it over there. So, all right, now there's another hot button topic that came up in the last day or two. And that would be our old friend Nikolai Zverev. Did you hear this story?
I see. There's a love affair going on. Ranger fans have certain love affairs with players, and I just don't get it. Now, I know Zverev's got some talent. I know it. But the day he left, some Ranger fans wanted him back. The same thing with Jágr. Oh, we got to get Jágr back. Oh, I miss Lauri Kaupe. Peter Prouka, I love you. Yeah, I mean, I liked them as Rangers, and I applauded them, what they did as Rangers. But you can't go back. I don't want to go backwards. Yes, the Rangers need scoring punch with Zverev. But does anybody remember what happened last year, the year before when Torts took over for Rennie, and what happened to Zverev? Can somebody, does anybody have a memory of Nikolai Zverev under the Torts regime? Benched. He was benched, and he didn't produce, and he was benched. So something there doesn't jive to me. Do you think the Rangers are so desperate for offense that they're going to take Zverev back? And what's your take on it?
I'll tell you what. Let me throw a couple of points at you, and let me see what you think about them. And then we'll discuss it again, and then I'll give you my take as well. Now, this was a point brought up by Rob, one of our writers, is that Zverev is going to be he's still 26 years old this year, okay, which means he should be coming into his prime. He had the highest plus rating, plus minus rating on the Rangers the season he was here, and he was 20th in the league in plus minus, which put him higher than Malkin, Sedin, and Corey Perry. Okay, so I understand what you're saying about Torts. The benching, and he kind of looked lost after Tortorella took over. But then another one of our regulars on the site, Ranger Smurf, who always has some great points to make, he brought up a great point. He's a good second line winger that this team might be lacking, and put him on a line with Anisimov and Prospel, and see what happens. And I'll tell you, my comment to that was I wasn't all that upset when Zverev left. And I said that was mainly because I knew what a superstar Chris Higgins was going to become. Because the genius just pours out of me. But the idea of Anisimov, Zverev, and Prospel on the same line is kind of intriguing. Artie, Nicky, Vinny, if you call them the Mafia line. Look, if you can get him for less than he was asking last offseason, if you can get him to come down from that number he was looking for, which I do think was a little too high for him, why not? Bring him back.
Yeah.
I mean, he wanted, I think, $3.75 or $4 million a year. Okay? So if you look at it from this standpoint, would you rather have brought Zverev back for $4 million or had Alex Kotelik at $3 million? What would you rather have?
All right. Again, that sounds like a dream sequence. Number one, bro. How long would a line stay together under a Tortorella regime? First of all, there's no steady lines. My second point with Zverev is with the plus minus that I always was a big proponent of the plus minus until I heard the Wade Redden was a plus last year. Said stat saw that that stat was what was it, a plus three or a plus two, and then you reeled that Nikolai Zverev stat out. May not be the most indicative of defensive prowess as I once thought. But, it sounds intriguing. But here's another factor you got to factor in. Now, say they may be senile, but he's still got that edge. He still has that, don't try to screw me because you're dead to me. And what happened with Jared last year is he said, you know what? Him and his agent said, I can get a lot more money in Atlanta, a lot more. I'm going to test the free agent market. He came at you hard. When you come out with Glenn Sather with what he feels an exorbitant amount of money, I don't know. He was willing to take players as UFAs, but as far as re-signing players, if they get crazy with the money, he gets all cheesed off. This happened with Antropov, and then it happened it also happened with Jared. Although Antropov was asking a lot more money, I think. But Antropov's actually worth the money, it turns out. But Jared, I think that a history between him and Sather would stand in the way of the Rangers getting Jared, of going back to getting Jared. I just think that's how it works in Sather's mind. Now, also combined with the Tortorella history with Jared, do I think the situation would behoove the Rangers make them a bit better? Yes. But again, I don't want to go back. I want to move forward. Yes, I understand the kid, 26. He's got some offensive talent. The Rangers need offense. But it's a mentality. Do you want another guy out there that is in some kind of headspace where he's just, defensively and team-oriented-wise, just coasting out there? I mean, is that the direction you want to go in at the expense of seeing 20 more goals? That's the question. I don't think it's going to happen because of the prior history between Tortorella and Sather that Jared has. That's my opinion on that.
Okay.
Very loose.
Fair enough.
That was very lucid commentary by myself.
Yes, it was. It's a case where there's strong arguments on both sides. And did maybe the whole experience with the qualifying offer and the Rangers walking away and then having to spend a year in the KHL, did that humble him? Did that did it change his mindset of what it takes to really succeed in the NHL? I don't know. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. I said last year I didn't think it would be the worst thing in the world if they let him walk, and I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if they decided to bring him back this year either. And as far as Ranger fans go, I think we just we're so desperate to see young players succeed. I think that's why we have a hard time letting go of guys like Jared Devin, Popakowski, and Nigel Flaws, and some of these other guys that we've seen cast aside over the years. Yeah, I think we're desperate for young players to come in and succeed.
They're coming. You just got to be patient. We can't go back and we've tried Jared. I just don't think Tortorella doesn't like him. I mean,
he doesn't like anybody.
That's true. But I think he's one of those guys, and Andrew Gross said that Tortorella's first impression of you, that's his impression for life. They did not get off on a good foot, and I just think that we saw that happen with Enver Leeson, who is like Nikolai Zhereev light, so to speak. So, I just don't see it happening. Hey, if they got him for reasonable cost as a fan, they got him. What could he hurt? The team was so anemic offensively. And, on that hand, I say it, but I don't think it's going to happen. That's it.
Okay. All right, fair enough. We got the take on the Zhereev thing. Now, we wanted to go over this last week, and let's go over it really quick, and I'll get your take on a couple of these things. I did a story last week on Blue Shirt Banner on my ten steps for getting the Rangers back on track. Okay, so I'll go over them. We'll go over them really quick, and I know some of them we don't even really need to debate, but I want to get your take on at least a few of them. Obviously, the first one is get rid of Redden. Send him to Hartford. And I said, sorry, Hartford, we're going to have to owe you one on that. Now, I'm going to skip.
Hartford?
What was that?
City of Hartford, you're apologizing to?
Yeah, I apologize for the, to the city of Hartford. I mean, not only do they lose the Whalers, but then they get stuck with Wade Redden for 3 years. I mean, 4 years. I mean, poor Hartford, right? But anyway, but, you know, hey, the world needs ditch diggers, too. All right. And then I want them to crap or get off the Sanguinetti pot. Bobby Sanguinetti seemed to fall out of favor with the coaching staff early in the season, and he's never recovered. I think it's time to either give him a legitimate chance of being on the roster or use him as a trade chip while he still has value. What's your take on Sanguinetti?
Bobby Sanguinetti? Yes, I agree with that. I think the Rangers have a truckload of guys that just are, for whatever reason, not fitting into the plans. Sanguinetti got called up twice, two or three times. I didn't see enough of him to make any kind of evaluation, and anybody that can make an evaluation after seeing three games in his NHL is off his rocker. He's obviously not going to get a chance, I think, in the Rangers organization. If anybody's going to get a chance, I thought Corey Potter got called up enough times, and Tort seemed to have some confidence in him as a guy that may come in. Michael Sauer, who was injured a lot last year, is another defensive prospect that really, these guys really can't be linked with the AHL too long because, number one, their value's gone down as it goes down, and they're not really producing at such a high level that you'd want to bring them up. And especially, I think, you know, I'm thinking about this, this goes to the Sanguinetti issue as far as the defenseman. I think Gilroy needs to start the season in Hartford next year. More and more I think about it, they really need to have Gilroy play every night and not at the major league level. You know, just after watching the game, I know he played 65, 70 games up in the NHL, but I think to develop him as a defenseman, I know you're paying him a lot to play in the AHL, but he really needs to. You know what it is, and I'll just wrap it up with this: is that he's older too, you know, and so I guess they feel they can't really afford to keep him in the minors too long. He's going to be 30 by the time he develops.
Right.
And I see Mando talking about Heikkinen. He looks like he may be heading back to Europe. I think he feels he got a raw deal here in New York. He thought he would get a real shot, and that's a shame because that's a guy I like to see more of. So that's my take on that.
Okay. What else did I have here? Well, one of them was to let Ole Jokinen go. That apparently that could be close to happening. And I think the Rangers should re-sign Christensen, Prust, Jody Shelley, Mark Stahl, and Dan Girardi. I think the four would show enough to warrant
for
being brought back.
Ain't bad for. Yeah, I look like Meatloaf, and I'm singing 4 out of 5 ain't bad, even though it's 2 out of 3. Ain't bad. I don't want Jody Shelley anywhere near this team. I know, guys, he played great the last 15. I want there's got to be somebody better out there and younger. I don't want my
Where's enforcer. The offense going to come from? Who's going to score goals on this team?
I mean, yeah, it's true. Him, they had set plays. If Jody Shelley gets signed, I'm not going to go flip out, but again, I want to keep the team. Nobody over 32 on the team. Come on, let's go. I don't want older guys. I want to say young. But he still can tussle. He's not like a Brashear with a total waste of space and energy. So
Old Man River.
Old Man River, that was horrible. Oh, boy. Jeremy. Sorry.
All right. So you're talking about getting younger. What's your take on bringing back Vinny Prospel?
I like Vinny. I like Avery. I mean, I like Avery said, watch that, Eddie. No, I like Prospel. You know why? Because Prosper's a team guy. He's a Tortorella guy. I think he embraced New York. I think he gave Ranger his all. I saw a lot of hustle at him, and I think he overachieved. And that, I think the reason he overachieved because of that. I think he loved playing where he was. And I think at the right price, bring Vaclav Prospel back to the New York Rangers. I welcome his orange tan and his Garfield.
Bronze God, I call him.
Bronze God, we call Vinny Prospel. Yeah, of course, Marty Bramer, of course he overachieved. Come on. Give it a break.
Somebody had to.
Somebody had to. Did you think he... What is overachieved? Well, he overachieved expectations. That would, do I have to clarify now for the chat room now? Come on, guys, give me a break. I'm doing a radio show here. All right, now.
Prosper, you bring up a good point about Tortorella. He's probably the best conduit in the locker room to help get Tortorella's message, whatever that message may be, through to the other players. There's probably nobody in that room that understands Tortorella. If that can be achieved, there's probably nobody better at it than Vinny Prospel.
Oh, yeah. No, he was one of the more outspoken guys in the locker room with the press. I think he doesn't – you know what it is? I don't think he fears Tortorella. And that makes him a better player, I think. If more people didn't fear Tortorella, they'd be better players because they know Tortorella's going to bark. And you know, okay, you're right, coach. You can go out there and do your own thing, you know, and adhere to his policies. And, you know, I like Vinny. Vinny was the man. I got no problems with Vinny.
All right. 646-478-4692, as always, is the number. I'm going to get to the phone calls in just one more minute. Because one other thing I want to talk about, well, there's a couple of things, but the thing I want to talk about next is did you see this Larry Brooks article that he did on, I think it was Sunday, he was mostly talking about the Capitals and what they need to do as far as finding more playoff success. And he's talking about Mike Green. And he asked the question, if George McPhee was to come calling to the Rangers tomorrow, and offering Mike Green and maybe Thomas Fleischman or Eric Fear to the Rangers for Mark Stahl and, say, Callahan or Dubinsky, what would you do?
Hear that laugh? It would be a lot louder and a lot more evil if we would come to my door and say, I want a glorified Paul Coffey for one of the best shutdown defensemen and a good role play in Callahan. Sorry, Charlie. We already have a Mike Green. He's called Michael Delzato. If we want a defensive liability who could score, we already got him. We have minus 1,000 Michael Delzato. And it's at 19. And Mike Green, he's terrible defensively. I don't know how he got nominated for the Norris Trophy. It's an absolute joke. What do they want? You got... Listen, I have no problem with offensive stats if you're a guy in the Norris Trophy winner, but you got to play the other. You got to play in your own zone. Every playoff, this guy gets exposed for the defensive buffoon he is. Again, they get knocked out. No, 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 no. Here's the laughter. No, Mike Green, George McPhee.
He's Bobby Orr on the front end and Roman Undur in the back end.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, and man.
And that's my token Roman Undur reference for the show. I usually try to make one a week.
Yeah, well,
now,
I
was setting you up a little bit because I know you don't like Mike Green, but I just wanted to hear your reaction anyway. But what I thought was a little more interesting is kind of buried in that same story was an interesting thing about Ryan McDonough. Brooks said that the Rangers conducted organizational meetings last week and are believed to be keenly interested in signing Ryan McDonough, whose rights they acquired from Montreal in the Scott Gomez deal. But the Wisconsin defenseman has a fair amount of leverage as he awaits an offer. McDonough turns 21 next month, would play his senior year with the Badgers if he does not turn pro. If he remains unsigned through next year, McDonough would become an unrestricted free agent as of August 15, 2011. Chances are then if the 6'1", 215-pound McDonough, who is regarded as a proficient, stay-at-home type, physically ready for the NHL, does not sign this summer, he will not sign at all with the Blue Shirts. And though it would seem necessary for Sather to offer the entry-level max, we're hearing that McDonough would make his decision based less on the contract and more on his perception of the Rangers program.
All right. Let's come on. You talk about the Rangers organizational I can't believe they're conducting organizational meetings. They should have conducted some during the year. Now, here we go.
You know what's funny, real quick, about those organizational meetings? They took place in California, I think in La Jolla, so they managed to get just about as far as they could from New York City without leaving the continental 48 states. I mean, might as well have had the meetings in Egypt.
Yeah, exactly. So, I agree with that. That's absurd. You're right. Here's the take on this. I feel like I'm saying that this is the take. That's my take. This is my viewpoint on this, my friend. You have, God, I almost said Yubi McDonough, that Islander loser. Did he play for the Rangers, Yubi McDonough, too? I don't know. So you got this kid, okay? And in the Canadiens organization, he was a treasured commodity when he got on and was drafted. They thought this kid was going to be all and the end all. And now it seems that his play has – they thought he was going to be very good offensively and defensively. It's turned out that he's a good two-way player but leaning a little bit more to the defensive side. His ranking has dropped. But he's still a solid prospect. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Now, the question is, if Sather feels that McDonough has shunned him in any way, there will be no offer. There should be an entry-level offer made to the kid. I think the kid will play. I mean, as long as Stepan is coming, this is a guy who he's played with all his collegiate career with, that you may see, that may influence him coming to the Rangers. So, I think that, it's up in the air, but I wouldn't lose any sleep if McDonough does not sign with the Rangers. I just feel he's not as coveted as I once thought. I was a big proponent of the kid, just from the stuff that I'm hearing. Now, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have Leslie Treff on, who's going down to the NHL Combine, and she can tell you everything about McDonough and what's going on and where he is at his game. So I'm going to wait to see where that goes. I wouldn't want to lose any prospect, a guy that has that kind of potential. So let's hope the Rangers do the right thing, give him that offer. Again, do the organizational, basics. Let's get that out of the way. And let him make the choice. If he doesn't want to play, hey, listen. New York isn't as sexy to come to play. I mean, it's a great city and everything. But, the Rangers aren't Rangers aren't battling for the cup every year. So if a player wants to decide he don't want to come to the Rangers, I understand that. I mean, I think you're missing out on a lot of things. You got the greatest fans. You got this show you could appear on. I mean, there's a lot of great things New York has to offer.
Now, here's my take on if they don't sign McDonough, is that they'll have virtually nothing to show for that trade except, you know, they'll have traded, they'll have lost Ryan McDonough, traded Scott Gomez, lost Chris Higgins, and Kota Leak, and have nothing to show for it except the cap space for Gavrik. You know what I mean? I mean, they'll be left with virtually nothing at the end of the day except Marian Gavrik, and it just seems like, you know, they lost all their advantage by making all these trades. I mean, Canadians fans could not believe that the Canadians would give up Ryan McDonough when the Rangers got him, when they made that deal. And it just, you know, I'd hate to see at the end of the day where they have absolutely nothing left to show for that trade except Marian Gavrik. You know what I mean? His cap space. It just seems like, somebody brought up, yeah, Pavel Valentenko, the other guy they got in the trade.
Let me ask you this. Had Scott Gomez not, say Montreal had not made the playoffs, and Scott Gomez, you didn't see his face in the playoffs, would you have felt this bad? Because I think a lot of Ranger fans are starting to have a little mea culpa when it comes to Scott Gomez. I'm not. But seeing Scott Gomez, you know, mix it up with Crosby and seeing what he can do on a team that can, you know, generate some offense and some excitement, that some Ranger fans are starting to, you know, he wasn't all that bad. I mean, I couldn't stand the guy. As a Ranger, and I know Ranger fans that defend him will say, well, he had nobody to pass to, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. I saw this guy do the same thing every night. Get over the blue line, curl, wait for somebody, get the puck taken away. Sorry. I just saw it too often. I couldn't stand his smirk, his snarky comments during in between periods. He was giggling. Meanwhile, the Rangers are losing. They're not winning. You know, business time. I don't like his attitude. I know that Coxie was in Alaska with him and last off season at a benefit, and he said Scott was dead as serious, like a heart attack. He was a pro's pro, and he really. But I didn't see why he was a Ranger, and so I'm wondering if that's factoring into your. Oh, they got nothing. Because to me, getting Gavrik with that cap space was perfect right there. So, yes, McDonough part was like, wow, we got a real nice additional gift here that for some reason Montreal, he fell out of favor with them and fell down on their depth chart. So I don't know. Is that factoring anything in there?
No, and see, I'm not as – I understand what you're saying about Scott Gomez, but I was never as down on him as you are, because in my mind, when he came to the Rangers, he pretty much did exactly – when he was with the Rangers, he pretty much did exactly what he had done his entire career. I mean, he hit – you know, he was right around his average in points, 15, 16 goals right in that neighborhood, 50 assists right in that neighborhood. You know, again, you know, he's just another guy that kind of got blamed for being overpaid, you know, for accepting a big money deal. But, you know, he performed up to his career, you know, he performed up to what he had done in his career. He wasn't like, you know, a guy who took a $6.5 million contract and has been an absolute disaster when he was here. Since he's been here, putting up horrible numbers and playing bad. Scott Gomez pretty much played exactly with the Rangers as he did with the Devils. I mean, he had one career year with the Devils where he had 33 goals. But other than that, he was pretty much right in line with everything he's done. You know, he just, unfortunately, you know, he'll forever.
How many goals? First of all, his contract was absurd for what he did. Come on.
Well, yeah, but that's you can't blame that on Scott Gomez. Let's say that calls me tomorrow and offers me that kind of money. Hey, I'm going to squeeze my fat ass into a Rangers jersey tomorrow morning.
Give me a stat. I'll be willing to retract. Convince me. Make an argument why Scott Gomez wasn't worth Marian Gavrik.
I didn't say that. I never said that. I just said that it just seems like if they lose McDonough, now they've gotten rid of every – they've lost every player that they wheeled and dealed for, And at the end of the day, all that's left is Gavrik's cap space. That's all I'm saying. They'll have lost Gomez, Higgins, McDonough, you know, and then they brought in Kotelik, got rid of him, and got nothing. There'll be nothing left except Gavrik is what I guess what I'm saying. They traded all these players, and at the end of the day, they'll have nothing to show for it except for, you know, Gavrik's cap space, which is great. Pavel Valentenko, and I guess Brandon Prust, you know, if you count him for going in the Higgins deal. Very quickly, I'll give you – here's Scotty Gomez's numbers, very quickly. His first season with the Devils, 70 points, 63 points, 48 points, 55 points, 70 points, 84 points, 60 points. Comes to the Rangers, 70 points.
Wait, Jim. What were the goal totals in the last two seasons with the Devils?
33 and 13. But 33 was more than was double anything he'd ever done except for his rookie year.
Right.
He had
okay.
19, 14, 10, 13, 14, 33, 13. And then his 2 years with the Rangers, he had 16 goals each year. So actually, he had two of his four best goal scoring years he had with the Rangers.
All right. Now give me the assist total.
My point. Assist? Sure. 51, 49, 38, 42, 56, 47. Those are his numbers with the Devils. With the Rangers, 54 and 42, and then 47 this year with Montreal. I mean, really, if you take out the year where he had 33 goals and 51 assists with the Devils, that if you take that 1 year out and look at his stats, he's probably as consistent a guy as you'll ever see. I mean, he's right in between, you know, 50 and 60, 65, 70 points every year.
All right. Well, what you're saying is that, all right, maybe I give the guy, maybe I give him a little bit of a raw deal. Maybe he's tainted
No one cares. No one cares, the chat room says. No one cares. Let's move on.
I care. That's all I give a crap about. So, you know, I have to say, I mean, it's just, okay, maybe he was tainted with some devil, but if it yes, I could see you want to get the better end of a trade, but I still, when it's all said and done, it made room for Marion Gaborik, and that's okay with me.
Okay. No problem. And continuing, Scott Gomez was born on December 23rd, 1979, in Anchorage,
Alaska.
Nobody cares. It's free, people. You don't have to pay for this shit. We care. We're having a good time. We're all together. Yeah, who would pay for this crap? All right, anyway, enough Scott Gomez. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's take Robbie. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. How are you?
What's going on there, Jim, Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, Robbie? What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to say, for some reason, I don't know why, I watched the YouTube video of the last game of the year against the Flyers, and just to see if it was the last game. And did you notice that who scored the game-winning goal in the shootout? What's his name? Giroux? Giroux. But is it me or did his when he shot the puck, didn't it sound like it hit the boards instead of the lower part of the net? Did you notice that?
Now wait a minute.
No.
Are you disputing this goal? Are we going to have a review? Are we going to Toronto, Jim? Because Robbie has found a glitch.
I think it might be too late. This league can't get a review right when it happens. You're expected to get one right 6 weeks later? 4 weeks later?
I'm just wondering. Yeah, I just thought it was pretty hard to watch. Well, I was also another thing. Jurda, what is it with him and Tortorella? Like, why does he have to, like, bench players like that? Jurda is solid, and I would bring him back at, like, one year, $1 million. And he would be good with Anisimov and possible if you were to bring him back too. But what was it about Zverev that Tortorella didn't like?
Wow. Well, I don't think he works. I think his work ethic, I think, was the big problem. And he's not coming back for $1 million. I gotta tell you that, Robbie.
Well, I mean, he did have like, what did he have, like 22 goals his 1 year with the Rangers, so.
I think probably
right
with
around
Tortorella,
58 points.
Tortorella said that Rennie team he had was really out of shape and not in physical condition, I probably think Zverev was probably one of them that wasn't really hitting the weight room. I don't know. It's all speculation. Who knows, because Tortorella's bad half the time. I really don't know. Like Jim said, you're not going to get him for $1 million. He's going to want more than that. I mean, $1 million is like for a guy who's got, you know, who was, basically a minor leaguer guy, first year guy. So, but I wouldn't, you know, the Zverev again, I don't like to go back. Let's move forward. Let's press on with the Rangers.
Yeah,
I don't want to go with things we've tried. And that's my train of thought as far as that goes, Robbie.
And, I would bring Postle back. I think that he was good. I know that obviously you said you want to go forward and get younger, but I still would bring him back. I think that he did go well with Tortorella, and obviously with 04 they won the Cup. So I would definitely bring him back at the same price. And I put him, like, on a third line. Or do you think he's a first-line center or just, like, a second or third?
Jim?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to answer that. I think a first-line center would sure be nice, but I don't see how you're going to fit him in.
I'd still go after him. And the thing with Green, I'm going to one thing I want to ask. Green, was that a rumor or just one thing that Brooks just brought up?
Well, you never
about,
know.
About the Green trade? He was hypothesizing, if you will.
Oh, because I saw that on HF boards. I don't know how reliable they can be, but I would not
do that. HF boards, everything you read on there is true.
Yeah. But I was just saying, I would not do that trade if you were to give them Dubinsky or Callahan at all. Green is making more than rent. Like, not by much, but he is. And he did have a lot of a few good years, you know, like when I think he had like over 30 goals for 1 year. So, but I still wouldn't do that trade. But
anybody who comes knocking for Mark Stahl, no thank you, goodbye. And Rock just said it in the chat room. Brooks was bored and he just decided to throw some crap and see if it stuck. That's exactly
what. That's true.
You know, he's just trying to give people something to talk about. That's all. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
His job.
Eddie,
you know.
Yeah, that's true, but. Eddie, when are you putting another YouTube video up of
I love that. You know what? I just put one up about Anisimov and a highlight reel of him. And I'll be doing some more remote on-the-scene work. I'm actually going to travel to Kansas City and see if I can find some Kansas City Islander fans out there. So,
that's funny.
Yeah, so that's going to be great. I like the way that... See, I like the way Robbie works in my plug for RangerCrisis.com. See, he's really working for me. That's why he's calling in. And I love it. And Robbie, we appreciate your phone call.
Thank you. Thanks. I have a great time calling in. And Jim, thanks for the advice of the long talk. I appreciate that as well.
No problem, Robbie. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I'll see you guys later, all right?
Okay,
right,
take
bye.
Care, man.
All right, bye.
You know, I just thought of something. You're going to Kansas City to try and find Islander fans. You have, there's a person on Twitter who's an Islander fan who's a real big fan of yours and organizes those NHL tweet-ups. Maybe you could put together a Kansas City Islander tweet-up and, get a little...
that is awesome. Wouldn't that would absolutely kill her. That would kill her.
a Kansas City Islander NHL tweet up hosted by you. I mean,
this woman that we're talking about, She actually called me a hockey cancer because of my Ranger Crisis number 50 telecast where I ranked on Islanders. She's a big-time Islander fan. She's like, oh, and she told Jim, how can you work with this guy? He's a disgrace to NHL. He has no respect for NHL players. And then Jim said, yeah, that's why I want to work with him.
And,
so,
well, you know, the funny thing, the real bugaboo, I guess, about it was that there's a scene in that video where you show a kid at the souvenir stand or the food stand or something, and you say something like, look at this kid in the Islander jersey, that's child abuse or something like that.
Right.
And you're just making a joke. You're just making a joke that millions of people have used. Oh, your father made you a Giants fan? Oh, that's child abuse. Or you're a Met fan? Oh, that was child abuse back. I mean, it was just a stupid joke. Oh, he mocked a child, I was told. I was like, oh, you know what? You're getting too freaking full of yourself with this goddamn Twitter bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So enough of her.
And that's why we don't speak much anymore.
Didn't mean to do that, but
no, it's
but
right.
Yeah.
I took a stand.
I'll with pictures, and it's gonna be a hoot, an Annie, a hoot and Annie. It's really hoot. But I see Paulie D's joined us. Get the golf claps up, ladies and gentlemen. The great Paulie D from the Paulie D radio program, running Monday. Keeping it real in the field with Chris Kotsopoulos, alias Kotsy, running down the NHL at a breakneck speed. Okay. Anyway, next subject. Bring it to my attention. Next on the docket.
Let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Dave, Blue Seat Blogs, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's going on?
First, what's
up, Eddie? I mean, Dave, I hear that you're sick. You're not in the best of. You're not feeling well.
No, I'm not. I actually feel like shit.
Hey ho!
My body's in full mutiny from the bachelor party this weekend. So.
You win that drink.
Anyway, enough of that. Two things. One, the McDonough situation, no need to worry about it. I mean, it happens all the time. If it's August 1st, 2011, and he's still not signed, yeah, panic. But, I mean, the only player that had that actually happen to him was Blake Wheeler. And shut up, man, Doc, really.
Mando's back. You know, he's in trouble. You got to ignore him. Don't take the bait, ladies and gentlemen. He is going to try to be agitated.
The other thing about this Mike Green theoretical thing, first off, it wasn't a rumor. And second, you don't trade Mark Stahl for him, but you definitely trade Delzato for him. Definitely, 100%.
Oh,
Delzato,
wow.
If Mike Green is Delzato's absolute peak. When you have the opportunity to trade a prospect for what that prospect's peak is, wow, Rass just got run over. If you have the opportunity to do that, you do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but who's one for one? Yeah, of course. I mean, you do that, but there's going to be
you trade another prospect or another roster player. I personally, it would suck to trade Dubinsky, but you know what? It's the cost of doing business. And a second or a third round pick, I would do that in a heartbeat. But I'm pretty sure the Cavs GM would hang up laughing.
A young guy who's unproven off, over the long haul. Mike Green, yeah, he's a commodity, but I don't see him excelling in a Ranger uniform. You know, he's got a busload of talent over. Better. I know he's a very good hockey player. There's no doubt about it. I think it's pure speculation. I can't see it happening, but hey.
It's utter speculation. There's no truth to it at all in terms of inner circles, but It's funny because I posted it on the banter, and I got ripped apart by a couple of people saying there's no way you trade Delzato for Green. Delzato's going to be what Green does, except he can play defense. First off, no, he's not. If he puts up the same points that Green does, he's going to have flaws defensively. Paul Coffey had flaws defensively. He's a Hall of Famer and the last defenseman to score 50 goals, all right? You take the good with the bad. All
right. Right. I agree. I don't think you should have got ripped apart for that because, first of all, I mean, MDZ is looking real good right now, but who's to say he gets next year he gets 5 goals? And you know, you don't know.
Yeah, and just to comment on the guy saying, like, trading Savard, Savard wasn't traded for somebody who was at Savard's peak. I mean, Green is Delzato's peak. There's no way around it.
Yeah, I mean, they're very similar the way they're going to be playing, you know, in styles. That's sure. They both, although I don't know much about Mike Green, but I'll tell you, Delzato does hit. I mean, I know he positionally he's got a lot to learn, Delzato. He's just out of position way too much, and he doesn't know where he's on the where he is on the ice defensively and picking up people. But Delzato, once he gets some weight, he lays out some good checks there. So yeah, I agree with you. When the Savard thing was different, I think, and I agree with you there. And by the way, that man's incredible.
It really is. And Mike Green at least attempts to hit somebody. I remember last year he went to hit Zhirinov, missed, hit the board's face front, and skated to the bench. That was one of the funniest things I've seen. I saw in that series, so I remember that one.
Yeah, so, you know, I think there's a love affair going at Michael Delzato with the Ranger fans, and I love
him. Borderline illegal. I mean, he's barely 18. All right, simmer down, guys.
That's his favorite thing. So, you know, he needs, you know, you can't be a minus $4 billion every year, so he needs a lot of work. But raw talent, yes, very good. So that's
Raw talent is nothing unless you can mold it into, you know, a hockey player. There's a lot of raw talent that wasn't molded. Look at Pavel Brendl.
Right. Well, will they have Wade Redden to mold Michael Delzato? Hopefully not next year. But what do you think about Larry Brooks? Do you think that was just thrown out there for him? Yeah, because I agree with
thrown out there for him just to give us something to talk about. There was no way the Caps trade Mike Green. Absolutely no way. If anything, they're going to trade Semin.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know about the other guys, Fear and Fleischman. I don't really know too much about them, to tell you the truth.
Fleischman is comparable to Dubinsky.
Okay. So, I just don't see doing it. Why would you go backwards if you're the Caps, really? I mean, unless they, like you said, if Mark Stahl is part of that thing, then it makes more sense because, you know, you'd love to have that shutdown guy. And the Rangers are going to have to pay Mark Stahl some money this year, too. So.
Yeah. You do not trade Mark Stahl, ever. Shut down defenseman when you playoff series.
Yeah, you saw it. And, you know, we all were kind of, you know, Mark got off to a little bit of a slow start, but we saw when the Rangers really needed to win who the guys were that wanted to win and really wanted the team to make the playoffs, and he was one of them. He played outstanding in the last dozen games, and he deserves a better fate than playing for this New York team.
Lundqvist is playing for this New York team.
Yeah, there's about 4 or 5 of them. So that's the scoop. Wait a minute. There's some controversy going on in the chat room, Jim, that the Rangers had Mike Green.
The wrong Mike, the other Mike Green.
Oh.
Wasn't that Mike Greer?
No, Mike Green. There was some idiot they had in Hartford that was called up after the fire sale.
I think he's on
the Islanders now. No, that's Greg Moore. I don't know. Mike Green just kind of fizzled out, the other one.
Oh, okay. All right. The confusion has been cleared up. And, Dave, it's good to see this Flyer or HBO special, The Broad Street Bullies.
It's good. I'm not going to lie. It's good. I mean, granted, I wasn't really, you know, around when they were big. I was born in 84.
I got to say
something. Well done.
Can I say something? Be quiet for a second. You said it was good.
Now, I liked it. It was entertaining. It was, you know, it was informative, but I didn't live through the Broad Street Bully and, you know, I didn't live through that Ranger fight.
Hush! Hush! This is the thing. When I sat through that first half an hour of that show, it was like a giant folktale. I was waiting for Paul Bunyan to come out and Dave Schultz to beat Paul Bunyan up and Babe, and then Moose DuPont to come out on a unicorn and beat up, Goliath or something like that. I mean, these drunken fire fools recounting their days. And Moose DuPont having the nerve. Everybody, people feared us. Everybody feared us. Dave Schultz, Bob Kelly, he threw him like the window. Listen, I have these games on tape. I could go right now in my room and put them on and watch the game. It's not like they say it was. It's not like they say it was. Yes, they were feared. Big Bird Don Selesky, the guy never fought. He never fought. He was a Nancy girl, Big Bird. They all had nicknames. You know why? Because Gene Hart, their biased Homer announcer, God rest his fat soul up in heaven, he came out with, in order to drum up more interest, he gave them all nicknames. Big Bird, Moose DuPont. How tall was Moose DuPont? Guess. The Moose, how tall was he? Look it up. It's 6 foot Moose. Give it a break. They're all drunk. They've all read their press clippings. They think that they own the league. They were goons. They were absolute goons. Dave Schultz won about four fights in his career. What he did was he was a wrestling act. He jobbed people. He was. Today, you talk about the outrage over headshots. Did you see that footage of Bobby Clark going after Bobby Orr with his skate? Towards the end of that show, that made me sick. And that pissant, Bobby Clark. Yes, great hockey player. No doubt about it, great hockey player. Anytime he went around swinging his stick like a swordsman. And every time he was challenged, he ran. He skated behind his goons. And this is, imagine that happened today. I mean, people get angry at a guy like Avery, who will drop the gloves because he starts crap. You have a guy like Booby Clark starting crap and then hiding behind players. Not dropping the gloves himself, that toothless bastard. And I'm going to tell you, there's one snapshot in that special where there are three men who are shirtless in towels with no teeth. So I think you can imagine what was going on there. They all had their dentures out. I thought it was a flyer propaganda film the first half hour. The second half hour, it got down to brass tacks. They started talking reality. And the first half hour is like, oh, yeah, this and that, and we remember. Every time they went to one of those flyers, they'll Bill Clement. Another total wuss bag. The guy never dropped the gloves. All these guys got brass balls when they're talking about the team now. They had some good players. Billy Ball was a hell of a player. Clark was out. Bernie Parent was one of the best. But and you know what? The one point that they drove home in this – that I really thought is it didn't make everybody root for the Montreal Canadiens because we wanted to see hockey played, not thuggery. And I love on-ice violence. I have all these fight tapes. But to sit there and they're thinking they're big shit, that their shit don't stink, and I'm sorry if I'm cursing. If you got kids, put them in bed because right now I'm about to go off. These people They're recounting history. They've had too many drinks and too many people telling them over the years how tough they were. Oh, when we beat up Dale Rolfe, we knew we had it. In that series, and a lot of Ranger fans got this wrong, too. I had the games. The Rangers were just as physical as the Flyers. Yes, that incident was horrific. To watch Dale Rolfe get pummeled by Dave Schultz, and they showed it with Brad Park, nobody doing anything. Meanwhile, Dave Schultz is headbutting the guy, pulling the guy's hair. I mean, the fact that they did this special, I understand the impact they had on the league. I understand, you know, it was a different era, and it was a circus. But, you know, I just thought there were a lot of players on that team who they were quoting that they weren't part of that. Bob Hound Dog Kelly, Bob Battleship Kelly. They made all these nicknames. It's like Brandon Disaster Dubinsky. They just make nicknames. That means just Nikolai. I'm trying to think of something. Nikolai, the Zamboni Killer Zheredev. Wade, the Wacky Redden. I don't know. Mary Lou Redden. That's what they just gave nicknames.
Shopping cart Roosevelt.
Shopping cart Roosevelt. Like, give it a break. Ryan Car Crash Callahan.
Cement Shoes Girardi.
Phil and Effie embraced them. It was a loser town. Of course they embraced them. They heard a guy on a freaking show said harness racing was the biggest thing in Philly at the time, between the Eagles and the Phillies. It looked like a full. And it had the most biased announcers. I'm sorry I'm going off on this, guys, but I'm telling you, I wish I could have done a show 5 minutes after it. I've got to remember a lot more. But it was like Gene Hart came out of the grave and wrote this biased folklore crap. Because I have the games. I've seen the games. I watched the games. I can tell you what happened. These players believe their own legends. That's the end of this. Sorry, Dave.
Wow.
You know, Eddie, you really need to start, like, really voicing your opinion more. You're too muted and quiet and reserved.
And when you tell us your opinion, you know, just don't sugarcoat it. Tell us how you really feel.
I'm going to try to do it. I'll try to get a little more outspoken. I'm going to work on that.
All right. I'm going to go to bed.
Anyway, all right, Dave. Well, you feel better, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Good night, guys.
All right, bye.
Bye.
All right, for those of you that were holding on the switchboard and hung up, you can call back in if you want, 646-478-4692. We've got a couple other phone calls on the line. We'll get to them in just a second. I had something I was going to mention to you, and now I've completely forgotten because of that terrific rant.
I scared you. Sorry about that.
The one thing I want you guys in the chat room tonight, you're getting a little out of hand. Can everybody just kind of calm down in here and be civilized? I see a lot of fighting going back and forth and arguing and teasing. Let's be civilized. You know, we're not Flyer fans, so. Chill out,
they're
everybody.
Right. They're okay.
I'm getting complaints. I have to. Yes,
hey,
I'm getting complaints.
Police yourself in there. Come on. We're not here to, you know, we're here to cajole you and walk you through this game we call Blue Shirt Banner Radio Chat. Police yourselves. If you can't play again, police yourselves. We'll get a monitor in here. We'll get an owl defend to monitor this crap. No, we wouldn't. No Islander fans allowed. We're all family. It's this big, freaking dysfunctional family. Brandon Demolition Dubinsky. He was one of the best fighters I ever saw. I remember when he took Scott Hairnet and beat the hell out of him. Oh. And then we went to a bar and drank ourselves silly. End of story. I want to make up Ranger Legends now. Wade the train wrecker Redden. Oh boy, when he hit you, he put you right through put you right in the first row, break the glass. So anyway, All right. Okay. Next. I got to get off this. I got OCD with this now.
John, are you there? Hello? 201-248, Blue Shirt Band of Radio. John, are you there? Gone. He hung up. He wanted to tell his joke. He wanted to tell his Cinco de Mayo joke. He wants me to tell it, and I'm not going to tell it.
All right.
Let's take one more phone call real quick. 201-788, who's this?
Lawrence, welcome to the show. You're the director. Give it to me.
201-788, you're on Blue Shirt Band of Radio. Who's this?
Yo, Jim, this is me again. I was just listening to the show again. Hello?
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 Yeah.
Oh, is this Robbie?
Yeah, I was just listening to the show. I didn't mean to call in again. I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right, I'll put you back on hold.
Sure. All right, whatever.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Show's going off the rails like an Amtrak. All right. Go ahead, do a roll call.
God. You're slacking, Jimmy. Next thing you know, you'll be telling people the show's on the wrong day.
All right. Without further ado, fresh from his appearance on From the Rink Radio the other night with Joe Fortunato, here he is, my partner, my good friend, Eddie, with the roll call. Have at it, buddy.
The Ace of Spades! Bow! The Ace of Spades is here, ladies and gentlemen, and that Ace of Spades is the card you want to be holding when you win your millions of dollars at the poker table. Avery rules! Now, is this Avery's rules or Avery rules? Because if it was Avery's rules, then you would have, you're allowed to put your stick in front of Marty's fat face. Or Avery rules. He's just the greatest. And let's face it, Shawnee is very good, but I'm looking for more improvement out of Shawnee next season. Before the move of 01. That's what I figured out this means. This means that this person lived someplace in 2001, but maybe because of some actions or something that happened in their life, they decided to move. And I don't know where they have moved, but they may be moving in stereo. I don't know what that means. Cohen Hockey, ladies and gentlemen, Cohen Hockey. Could this be Russ Cohen now? It's got to be somebody better than that stiff. It's Bruce
Gary
Cohen, I believe. Who?
Gary Cohen.
Gary Cohen, Mindy Cohen from the Facts of Life. That's who it is. Mindy Cohen, welcome to the show. We love you. You are a great actress. What was her name in that show again? Charlie, what was
Natalie.
Mindy Cohen's name? Natalie.
Natalie.
Let me tell you. Natalie, what a look. Coochie Wally, ladies and gentlemen, the cooch will not mooch. And he will definitely not screw the pooch. Mr. Coochie Wally, welcome to the program. Ghost of the Crazy Greek eating his gyro. See, I was going to people say gyro in New York, but if you're a real Greek and you go to a real Greek restaurant, you better ask for a gyro. Because if you don't get a gyro, if you don't ask for a gyro, you may get a special little item added to your lamb sauce. Frosty!
You get a gyro.
What? You make it a zero. That's right. Frosty is here. Frosty, the pain in the ass, was a jolly, jolly soul. Now, Frosty, I love Frosty. Me and him are going at we're having a little friendly fires being exchanged via little instant messages here and there. But I love Frosty. He's a diehard Ranger fan. Love him. And he can always give me a laugh by remembering some old has-been the Rangers had from way back when. There's guest 3771 and guest 4221 and guest 4278. Guess what you guys didn't do? You guys didn't log in. If you logged in, you'd have a screen name and you could join the Ranger roll call. Get with the program or get the hell out. High C. Oh, high C. Oh, the fountain of misinformation. Yes, he has graced our presence tonight. Hi, see who told me, yes, Real Sports is going to be doing something on the Broad Street Bullies. Here I was thinking it was a 15-minute event. It turned out to be an excruciating hour that Real Sports did not host. So, Hi, C, thank you for that hour of misery. Hooters, 732MB. Oh, I think I like Hooters chicken wings. That's all I could say about that place. And Hooters always reminds me like those desperate guys to go to Hooters to get people, women to talk to them. And the Hooters women are never really attractive. I know I really shouldn't be speaking to who's attractive or not, but they always seem a little bit broken. Yuck 68. Yes, the great Claude, the Claude. Claude, not the Claude. Claude. Claude, a great gentleman, looks great for his age, a big-time Ranger fan who actually survived his first date with his now wife after being introduced to the family by watching a Ranger game under stressful circumstances. And love Claude. Jay of the Dead. Ladies and gentlemen, he hates Kari. I still don't know what Kari's last name is, but Jay of the Dead hates her. And Jay of the Dead is a great fan of the show. We love him. We want to embrace him, but in a total heterosexual way. Now, Critical, the soft-spoken, below. Volume, the low volume man, the guy who doesn't like to really get crazy, says he's amped up tonight. So he's turning the dial. He's cranked the dial from 0.5 to 0.6. That's how crazy he is right now. And Mandar, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't seen much of Mandar, and I don't know why, but I miss the guy. He's my compadre in Ranger Crisis Crime. He's a guy that his opinion I value more than his friendship, actually. Now, this man will eat more fried food at a fast food restaurant than any man. And I know, Jim, I know you are a former fast food connoisseur. But Mandar, I have seen order several value meals at a time. Marcy Braverman, who only has finished one final, as I've learned. She still has four or five to go. We wish Marcy the best in her endeavors and her scholastic endeavors. Marcy Braverman, one hell of a Ranger fan, one hell of a woman, and even has those custom-made Ranger bikinis that she's showing off right now if you go to our live Blue Shirt Banner radio cam. And then there's Chris. I know Massey. I'm thinking you're from Massachusetts. Your name is Chris. It might be Christopher, or maybe you name Chris and you're going to go create a massacre. I don't know. But Massachusetts, Chris, we love you here. Welcome to the chat room. I hope to God you're a Ranger fan. And if you're a Bruins fan, hey, listen, I'm up with your Bruins, too. As long as they're beating up on Philly, I guess I'm somewhat of a Bruin fan by default. And now, New York Ranger 1994. Yeah, 1994. Heave ho, I don't want to hear about this. No more. Yeah, listen, I love 1994. I love the Rangers, and I love the spirit we had. God, I'm always reminded of that Ranger parade. Mandar was there with me. We got on the floats. I was so large at the time, I was afloat. No, I'm only kidding. I actually was a lot skinnier back in 1994. But love 1994, and we love that you're here every week, New York Ranger 1994. And now, the great Paulie D. The jokester of it all. Six jokes you haven't guessed at once. Paulie D from NHL 24/7 from Florida. He's from his Facebook page to see him holding a stick like he's cross-checking somebody. I've never seen anybody actually look like that when they cross-check, but Paulie D, we love you. You're a terrific, you're a blessing to the hockey internet radio world, and I love your music. Phoenix Ranger keeping it real in phonics. That's right. I pronounce Phoenix phonics. F-A-U-X-N-I-X, phonics. I got to say, Is he one of these guys that you met down there at the rain thing when you were down there?
No, he did not attend the game.
Okay, all right, there we go. So I love the fact that you're in Phoenix and a hockey fan and a Ranger fan nonetheless. We love you. Ranger Dude 35, Zach. Zach, I can't believe, Zach, you must be at the bar celebrating Cinco de Mayo there. And to all my Mexican friends, Spanish friends, I salute you. Have a margarita on me, Zach, one of the major mental cases that comes to the show regularly. Rock 1193, who's come on this show and made me laugh through the chat room on a consistent basis, he gets the Mouse Comedy Award for tonight for chatter with the best quips, so to speak. And I didn't say quips, because that would be a whole different thing. Or queeps. Well, that would be a different thing. Anyway, what am I talking about? That is Stan from Bayside. Stan is... he's got some problems. Stan is the best. Stan yeah. He brings it. He keeps it real in the field, and I love him. He always makes me laugh. He's got a kind of a... he's kind of like me, but without all that extrovert baggage. And then Jimmy Hoffa, who I last saw was buried in the Meadowlands in the end zone where Flipper Anderson caught that touchdown pass against the Giants. That was the last time I saw Jimmy Hoffa. I'm sorry about that. But Jimmy Hoffa, I love you. Any former union leader and corrupt person, I always have respect for. That is the Ranger roll call for Blue Shirt Banner Radio for today, Wednesday, May 5th, 2010. I love you all.
All right, and a real quick shout-out to B23 Blue Pain, who is one of our guests. He's having some computer issues, but he is listening to the show. He sent me a text message. And, of course, as always, our good friends over in the UK.
Yes, good evening, Ranger fans. This is Daniel Craig, better known as James Bond, and we would like to say hello to Chris Smith listening to Blue Shirt Banter Radio in the United Kingdom.
Wow.
There you have it. All right. So, another roundup, another roll call in the books, and now most everybody can go to bed. Good night, Jackie.
No.
Oh, Jackie's already gone. I didn't even realize she wasn't there.
Yeah, she couldn't wait. She has to go to sleep. She's a hardworking gal.
Usually nap through. All right, let's go to the phones. We have Zach on the line. Zach, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
All right, how are you?
I'm good. I am not. I'm flat broke. I can't get anything to drink right now.
Not even a little Thunderbird or some Muscatel or Ripple?
Nah, too broke.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah. Spent it all on St. Patrick's Day.
What Ripple? What is this, Sanford and Son?
I was just going to say, is that what Ned the Wino used to drink on Good Times? A little Ripple?
Yeah.
All right. I called in to do play-by-play for the last 2 minutes, and I'll start with Bruins scoring an empty net with minute 52 left.
All right,
so,
you're done.
All right.
Thanks, Zach. Nice to talk to you guys. Have a good night.
Now, Zach, what do you think about these rumors that have been going around about Jared? What do you think about him?
He hung up. He said goodbye.
Oh, he did? All right. Yeah, listen. Yeah. I don't listen to what he's saying.
He hung up.
All right. Screw him, then.
All right. Another phone call.
Nope. Oh.
914-400. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Gentlemen, what's up? This is Mike calling. I've been listening to the show for like 7 months now, and first time I'm calling in.
Why?
You guys are awesome. It's tough. Yeah, it's tough. You know, work schedule, working out, just trying to take care of everything. You know, it's tough. But it's awesome on the archives. You guys always put me in a good mood every week.
Mike, welcome to the program. We appreciate you calling in.
Anytime, and I'm glad you guys have said always put me in a good mood the next day, coming to work with a smile on my face, cracking up at the stuff that goes on in the show.
It's funny because somebody told me that earlier in the week that they were at a doctor's appointment, and they were listening to our broadcast, you know, archive, and they're just laughing, and like, the nurse is, like, looking at them like they're half crazed. And I never really thought about people, you know, really listening to this when they're not in front of their computer, but that's really a great thing, you know. I mean, that'll really, that makes me happy, right? I mean, Jim, that makes you happy, right? Putting people in a good mood.
I love to hear what, like, you know, Chris, our buddy from over in the UK, he emails me every time. He emails me a couple of times a week to keep in touch, but he always emails me after he listens to the podcast, and he's telling me, oh, you guys got to do two shows a week. You guys are making me laugh. I'm driving to work listening to my iPod, and it's great. Oh, and we love it. You know, if we're making you guys laugh and we're having a good time, that's all we care about.
It's the greatest, you know. You guys got Darren Turcotte on. Nobody ever talks about that goal he scored, 92, which was like my favorite goal ever growing up. So it was great, you know, that you guys got him on to see what he's up to and all that good stuff like that. But
yeah.
I had a question. I just want to talk about the current state of the team and a couple of things going forth, like next year. You know, everybody's talking about McDonough now. This is just like Larry Brooks making stuff up, I think, or, you know, he's just, you know, throwing stuff on the wall, as you said. But let's get Valentinko over here already. I mean, the guy's team folded in the KHL, and he's completely free right now. Let's bring him over and see what he's about. Rather than, you know, McDonough, let him finish college, get his education, all that good stuff. And it's not really important right now, but Valentinko is out there, and he plays an agitating game. I heard they say Brian Marchmont-like, and if he plays anything like that, then he's going to, you know, pick some people off in the back end.
Yeah, Brian Marchmont was lack of a better he was quite a dirty player. But, you know, and it's the kind of player the Rangers need. Now, I don't know too much about this Valentinko. Maybe, Mike, you can fill me in. What's the scuttlebutt? What's the, you know, you said Brian Marchmont type of player. What's the dealio with him? And maybe, Jim, you could add if you know anything.
I just heard he's like an agitating guy. He just plays like a very agitating game. He, you know, ticks people, pisses people off over there. He blocks shots, and, you know, he's going to hit people. He's going to put people on their asses for better attempts.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you know anything about this guy?
I don't know I don't know anything about him.
Yeah, well, he's free. His team actually folded in the KHL, and so he's completely – he's just doing nothing right now. So, you know, he's no contract whatsoever. So why not bring him over? I mean, you know, they got nothing to lose, and they have lots of spots to fill. And then,
see if anybody in the chat room – do you know if this guy – was he drafted by any team? And when did he have the NHL – played in the NHL at all? Or is he strictly a KHL guy with, you know, no team?
I think he played a little in the AHL. You know, he went back – like, what's that guy used to play – Kondratyev, he played in the AHL a bit, then he decided to go back. I think, you know, he was young. He wanted to, you know, go over there and work on his game and all that stuff like that. So he played, he's a little AHL experience, but he said he wants to come over here, and Gordy Clark mentioned bring him over here. So, you know, why not?
If Gordy Clark endorses him, I'm wholeheartedly behind it. So let's get him in. I mean, I think that's a good movement. I want to ask you, Mike, where do you stand on the Zhereyev coming back?
I kind of like Zhereyev. I mean, he was okay. It's just that I don't think it's going to work with Tortorella here. I think it's kind of a burned bridge. And, I mean, if he came back for like a year of cheap, I wouldn't terribly be opposed to it, but I don't see it happening with the current regime and with just, you know, the way things ended with him.
Well, that's true. I mean, yeah, I that's where I stand on it. And, So what do you hope? I mean, what are you looking forward to in the off season? What do you the Rangers? Do you want to see the Rangers really try to make a play for a Kovalchuk or a player of that stature, or just basically stand pat and let the young guys play? I mean, where do you stand as far as that?
I think basically, like, the problem is that, and the Prospect Park website talked about it. Not this year, but next year, there's going to be like 6 or 7 guys coming in, you know, like Stepan and Ethan Werick and Roman Horak and Carl Hagelin also. And, you know, they got Pashnian and they drafted in the KHL also. He was like the last pick last year. So it's going to be like that year in the late 80s with Leafs and Granato and Jansons came up, all those guys. So, I mean, it's tough. You can't really sign. If you sign somebody now for like $7 million, like a Kovalchuk, it's going to kill cap room and you're not going to be able to get a lot of these guys up. You know, I mean, hey, 2 or 3 of them should hopefully make it at least in 2 years. And even this year, I mean, there's a couple of kids who are going to, you know, like Tomas Kondratyk or this Matt Zuccarello laughing guy, and you know, even Dale Weiss. I want to see him bang around some people.
Yeah, I want to see Dale Weiss up And I'm glad that you mentioned Matt Zuccarello Olsen, Frodo from Modo.
Yeah.
The Norwegian Hobbit. You're right. And I think that's a great point. I mean, you know, they're going to have a lot of room, and you don't want to – they're going to have a lot of players and not a lot of money to wiggle room. So I think that really is the way I'm – but it's hard to tell Ranger fans to be patient because, you know, we've been burned, as you know, so many times. But it's a different era. The cap era has forced the Rangers. And the only guy I feel that's competent in the whole organization is Gordy Clark. So – as far as I'm concerned, if he says it's gold, if it's good, I feel confident with him. So, and I really love the fact of Tony Granato and Mark Jansen. I've actually tried to contact Mark Jansen to get him on his show. I loved Mark Jansen. He was
Oh yeah, that guy was, you know, he was a beast in this short limited time here. It's funny, I think about 2 years ago, my friend's ex-girlfriend mentioned she, and I literally snarked, and she's like, oh, I took a summer class of Mark Jansen's. He was an NHL player. I'm like, Mark Jansen's? Oh, was he playing? He's from Chicago. And she's like, that's right. He lives in Chicago now.
Oh, he lives in Chicago now?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think that's where he ended it. I mean, you know, this is...
He played a while there in Chicago.
Yeah, so as far as I know, he's still with there of his family, but, you know, this is 2-3-year-old information. But as far as free agents, I mean, I'd say just go for value. You know, go for, like, these guys, like, you know, the one-year deal, like look for value and budget. Like, I know Paul Kariya is not the best option, but some, you know, like Elise Stempniak or some of these $2-3 million guys are going to come in, hopefully score 20 goals, and just, you know, one or two short-term guys, and that's it. Like, even on the back ends, I don't know, like a Hamnius who's going to get overpaid, or Volchenkov is going to demand a lot of money. Just these guys, like these lesser guys.
Like, yeah, I agree with that. Stopgap guys that are like, I really like that Lee Stepniak. I think, and I always talk about this, that he was on the same team with Hugh Jessamine, and we couldn't even pick the best guy from Dartmouth. He was on the same team. At least Stepniak got picked like in the 8th round, and we picked Hugh Jessamine in the 1st. So, I think that's the way to go. Now, Jim, maybe Mike too. What about? I've been hearing a lot about the Rangers. Now, you don't know if this is speculation from the fans about trading up in the draft, possibly trying to move up some slots, or do you think they really should just stay pat where they are and get a Niedermeyer or whatever that guy's name is? I mean, how do you guys feel about that? I'll go to my co-host first. Jim, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you, that Niederreiter is it's one of the few things Ranger fans agree on. Everybody seems to want this guy. And, you know, depending on what you read, he may or may not be there when the Rangers pick 10th. You know, but I haven't heard anything that the Rangers are interested in him. You know, I've just seen, you know, speculation from the fans talking about it. But, you know, the Rangers keep it all pretty close to the vest. It is the Kremlin. And we had no idea they were interested in Kreider until they picked him. So, you know, you never know what they're going to do.
And how about you, Mike?
I don't think he's going to be around at that point. You know, you keep hearing, and maybe it's like the YouTube videos, and maybe it's his performance at the WJCs, but this guy, it just seems like he's going to be gone by about 6 or 7. And, you know, maybe in, when you hear, you know, read on these HF boards and all that, and on my hockey NHL draft or whatever his website is, the guy who might be available is his center, Ryan Johansson, but he may even be gone.
Yeah, it's tough to, you know, I mean, especially now that everybody's so a lot more focused here in the States about who's going to be available. And you do have to watch out when you go to these boards because, you know, people get hot on one guy and, you know, you don't know what an organization is thinking. They know a lot more than we do. And again, like you said, you get suckered in by these YouTube videos. You can watch a highlight video. There's an Envalisa highlight video out there make you think he's like Gretzky. You know, you know, then once you see him playing on your team day, and you're like, holy cow, So I've been sucking into that before. So, Mike, we appreciate your phone call, and we thank that you're the long-time listener. It really made my night, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no problem, guys, and I'll keep listening and calling again if I get a chance to.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.
Good night, guys. Good night, guys.
Take it easy.
Bye.
All right. There you go.
That was Mike. Don't you love all hearing right. that somebody likes us?
Yeah.
Nice.
We get some stuff there. But I like it when if somebody says they've been listening and they haven't called in and they've been busy. I mean, that always feels good. And
sure.
So, yeah, that's always good. So.
I like hearing that people make it a point to make sure they download the show and take it with them. You know, that's always nice to hear that we're important enough that they do that. And I want to throw this question out. We're gonna bring Mandar in here in just a second. But I have a quick question, something I'm curious about. Those of you who are out there that listen to the show live, if you have like one of these newer style phones, not a BlackBerry, because I know you can't, or at least I can't listen to the show on a BlackBerry. But if anybody has like one of these Motorola Blur phones, or you know, any of these, you know, the handheld type phones, the fancier phones, if you are able to listen to the show live on that phone, let me know. If you have one of those phones, give it a try. See if you can listen to the phone. See if you can listen on your phone. I'm just curious if Blog Talk Radio has that capability. It's just a curiosity that, you know, we're always looking for more people to be able to hear us live. Yeah, iPhone. I can't believe I didn't say iPhone. Yes, iPhones, Droids, you know, those type of phones. If you have one of those, give it a try. See if you can listen to the show live and let me know. I'm just curious. So anyway, without further ado, let's welcome back to the program. How long has he been away? A couple of years now, right?
Yeah, he's been away from the mountains of Tibet. 7 years.
I think the last time we had Mandar on was to discuss whether Stephen Baker or Stephen Weeks was the better goaltender for the Rangers. Anyway, Mandar, welcome back to the show. Good to have you back. We've missed you in the chat and on the phone. How are you?
Good, guys. Hey, great to be back. Phenomenal show. I've been keeping track as best as I can through the podcast. It's just, you know, been busy with work and family stuff. It's just a whole bunch of stuff, but glad to be here. And want to commend you guys. I waited since it's been so long since I've been on, but again, I want to go back to your Gretzky interview, which I thought was fantastic. I thought you guys were awesome on that. Again, kudos to you guys for that one also.
Brett Gretzky? Yeah, that was a great interview. That was actually Brett Gretzky.
And I'm still looking for, and I still want to have Eddie and Gretzky go at it like in an NHL 11 game or something like that.
that was funny how that conversation got started. I mean, how we wound up talking to him for 5 minutes about video games and his old video game. Yeah, those things, they never go quite the way we think they're going to go.
Yeah, and I think when he said, I'll talk to Mr. EA about that, about simplifying this button.
He truly is the great one.
Yes, he is, my friend. Yes, he is. So what's been on your mind? You've seen the broadcast transpire in front of your eyes tonight. What do you take issue with? Some of the comments, some of the chat romantics? Mandar. Oh. Ranger listening public wants to know.
I'll tell you, it's an interesting offseason already because they have to re-sign a whole bunch of people, and I don't think this team knows and doesn't have a direction right now. I didn't hear it out of Tortorella at the end of the year. All I heard him say was that he was maybe happy with a couple of players and not, and then they have this summit in the mountains of California. Does anybody know what direction this team needs to go? Are they a defensive team that just needs a sniper or two, or are they in need of more defensemen? Basically, we need everything. We need a backup goalie. We need three or four more defensemen. We need five more top-line forwards. It's insane. I mean, the offseason's always a lot of fun, but this one's going to be even more interesting because of the cap space that they have, where they can or cannot move. I don't think he's going to do anything with Redden. I think Redden is going to stay up because why would he have waited until this offseason? Why wouldn't Redden have been down there during the season? Didn't make any sense. You didn't see him bring up any of the young guys. He brought up Anders Ericsson, who did pretty well, I thought. But still, the guy's, what, 36, 37? I just fear as we're so desperate to bring in youth that we overrate our younger players. I love Ryan Callahan, but somebody, I saw people were talking about moving up in the draft. Hey, let's give them Ryan Callahan and move up to the top two with our draft pick. What? In order to move out of that 10 spot to get up into the top five picks in the draft, you're going to have to do Mark Stahl and then some to get even to move up five spots. So any of this garbage that they're talking about, we can move up, you know, it's like trade our trash that everybody else seems to want, but yet nobody's knocking on our door for it. I'm just real curious here. I think we should stay the course. I think that we have young players to sign. I think we should move Gilroy to forward. I think that that guy can skate and he has the ability to play forward a lot better than defense. I think we need a Volchenko kind of guy on defense that is, you know, going to be a solid stay-at-home guy that gets some respect back there. Let Girardi go. But there's, you know, what we fear every year is that there's always, always a complete revision of the roster. We don't tinker. We retool 10 spots every year, and it's going to happen again next year. It's going to be a totally different team.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying the same thing. They're going to, you know, you're going to have at least a half a dozen new faces next year, I would think, at least.
And I'm not convinced that our coach is the right guy for coaching a young team. I just don't. I mean, you know how I feel about him in the first place. Any coach that says, I don't know what to do, you know, right 5 seconds later, he should be out the door. I mean, even if you feel that way, you certainly don't say it to inspire the confidence of your players and your fans when you keep saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know why it's not working. And the guy's an abject failure on this team. Say what you want about Tom Rennie. You got him to the playoffs every year. Even John Guy Talbot got him to the playoffs.
True. They went out in three.
Exactly, but they still...
Yeah, well, I think you bring up some good points. I think one thing you said in there got that I think some Ranger fans would take ire with or take you to task with is the Dan Girardi comment. Can you explain to them what you said about Dan Girardi's point?
I got to say, Hi C just said the Rangers retool more than John Bobbitt. That is the line of the night. Oh man!
He didn't put John Wayne Bobbitt. Would have been better, Joe.
Seriously, you know what? Too, we got these young defensemen. Now it's time. You know, it's the baptism by fire. Delzato did fine, and I hope he improves in the. You know, in year two, I hope the coaching staff takes a look at him and says, okay. Every team in the NHL knows that you like to do that stretch pass every time you come out of the zone. Let's get a little creative now and see what we can do. But I didn't see players getting necessarily better as the year went on. I saw a lot of regression, and that's directly attributable to coaching, as is the too many men on the ice penalty, which I think we set a record for taking this year. So, again, I think a lot of it goes from behind the bench, and I'm just hoping that the guys that are coming up from Hartford have the hunger that's necessary to get it done. And by the way, also, all these Brooks rumors, I'm not going to say a word about these stupid deals. This guy is an idiot and an ass, and to give any more than 2 seconds thought to what this jerk says just to get himself to see himself writing something in a paper is just 2 seconds too much.
Hey, Larry Brooks commented to Eddie on our show. I mean, we can't be too hard on him.
No, you can't be too hard on him. You should be even harder on that.
Say the rally.
He was scared.
Go for it, man. No, I mean, you know, listen, Larry Brooks, he was a schmuck before he talked to me. He's a schmuck after he talked to me, all right? I'm with Mantov. I stick by my friends. I ain't no fair weather fan or fair weather friend. Larry Brooks.
You're not like Dan Girardi?
Now, to get back to the Dan Girardi thing, are you still a little bit butt-sore about the fact
Absolutely.
That he's in a
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, you know, to re-sign a Dan Girardi, if you're gonna give him more than $1 million, then you tell him goodbye. This guy, you know, he is what he is. Again, didn't see any improvement in him. Didn't notice him when he was on the ice, other than to make a mistake, and that's a Wade Redden-ish kind of thing to do. So if he's not out there making a play, if he's not out there making a big hit, you gotta, you know, you don't know if he's a matchup defenseman. You don't know if he has a good shot on the point. Didn't he have 10 goals 2 years ago and like 12 assists? You know, it's just, you come up big in big spots, or you lay an egg, and you can, for the rest of his career, he can stand up for his teammates. But the one thing that he got to stand next to Gabrick, watch him get pounded by a punk that he was bigger than. And then for him to say later on, you know what, maybe I should have stepped in. Well, that's a Tortorella move. Hey, you know what, maybe I should have done something different. So Tort can take him and go somewhere else.
Wow. So you know, go ahead.
I just want to say that Mandar was mentioned in the too many men on the ice penalties, and Eddie hit that nail on the head back in February. He said nobody knows who they're playing with, and
that's
the Lions
true.
Never
and
know
you know
who
what?
They're on the ice with.
And Jim, I'll tell you, you know, just from coaching myself, there, you know, you send your players out there, you do drills and practices, and you do everything you can, and but during an actual game, the one responsibility that the coach certainly has every time is the changes. And if you don't know who you're coming on for next, then you get the too many men on the ice penalties. And he changed up lines so often, every game, every period, from shift to shift. He had these players so confused that they get the too many men on the ice penalties, and he gives that look of death from behind the bench, you know. And it's his own fault. There's the only penalties that a coach really are 100% responsible for are too many men on the ice penalties. That's 100% on the coach.
Yeah. And the fact that he was itching to get – he couldn't – when the Rangers had that early success, I always talk about this, but when they had that early success, it was killing him that he had to keep the lines together. He
exactly.
couldn't wait to tinker. He couldn't wait to mix it up. And to me – that is like the biggest cop out as a coach when they have to address a team not playing well. They say, "Well, we're going to change the lines up." Like this is like the pat answer that and a pat response they have for a losing streak, for a big game. It's nothing. It's something that I'm not to me is useless. And I think it does more harm than helps. And you know. And we, you know, to be fair, Rennie's team also took a lot of too many men on the penalty. I thought he was a little wine change happy too. But I agree, and especially with young players, and I've talked about this, and guys like Anisimov and these Russian players who come over from Russia, and they play that unit of five still to this day. That's how they're brought up. And I know they have to adapt to the NHL system, but you saw a guy like Artie, who really was, you know, flip-flopped around with every third and fourth line loser we had. And then he finally gets some consistent playing time, now albeit with Brandon Prust and Jody Shelley, and all of a sudden he's playing, they got set up plays. What? I want to ask you this, Mandar, basically because Jim is urinating right now, but let me ask you this. When did it start to be fashionable to mix the lines up? Why is it so frowned upon to play lines together over and over? Why that is not why that isn't done more? Why did that not become fashionable anymore?
You know what? But it's fashionable for the teams that aren't successful. If you look at, you know, look at a team like Pittsburgh, who, you know, none of us are big fans of, none of us really enjoy, but, you know, Crosby's always on that line with Guerin and I forget who the other winger is. Malkin's not on that first line. He's always got a consistent center. Even if you're changing the lines, there's no reason to interchange all three players. You got a center and a winger that click. Maybe you change up the third guy, but there's just an infinite number of combinations that this guy uses because he has no answers. So it's basically throw something against the board and see what it sticks. Marian Gaborik is going to score no matter, even if you put him out there, you know, with any fourth line players. He's going to score goals. He's a natural goal scorer. But you've got to realize what you have there. So as opposed to getting some continuity, developing a crash line, so to speak, like he has with that Anisimov line, he decided he kept on moving parts because they didn't score three goals on a shift. Well, you know, again, comes from the top there. And there's no consistent play. Then you know, and it works it over to the special teams too. The power play was, while it was in the top half of the league statistically, it all came in bunches. There's no consistency on that power play. But yet you got continuity on the penalty kill. The penalty kill has been very successful. Why? Because you use the same two forwards that stay out there every time. It's always going to be Dubinsky and Callahan, right, together. And at the end, he was using Pruss. He's using the same tandems out there. Hey, why are we successful in the top five every year in penalty kill? Because you have the same guys out there. You know, it's not rocket science here, but I hate to think that Tortorella's a guy that will just change things up just so he could say he's right about it. And I certainly think that with our young talent coming up, with the Kreiders coming up, the McDonoughs coming up, Stepan's coming up, he's the wrong guy to be in there. He's the wrong guy to be in there.
Well, you know, I think next year will be his, you know, I'll give him the first season pass, even though I have, I agree with you on every issue you have with the guy. I do. But
yeah, same here.
I give him the first year pass, and I give him the fact that, you know, he doesn't have a very good team. But I think, you know, Paul, who is not in the chat room today, Eddie Johnstone, his name, he always brings this question. He goes, who improved under Tortorella that was on the team from last year, the previous season? Was Ryan Callahan a better player than he was?
No.
Was Brandon Dubinsky a better player?
Nope.
Was Mark Stahl a better player? You know, if you go through the guys that, you know, the guys who were there from the previous coach, I didn't see much difference. I give him another year.
I would venture to say that Stahl got better as the year went along once he stopped trying to be who he wasn't.
And why was he trying to be somebody who he wasn't, though? That was directive from the coach, though. The coach directed him, you know, change your style here. We want to get more offense out of you. I mean, it's a nice thought, but you know what? It shouldn't have taken 40 games for that to have shown itself to be the wrong way to utilize his best talents.
Yeah,
well,
that's
true.
I
want to bring it, before we're getting close to the end, but I want to bring in, we got one more caller on the line. 848-218, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
It's Scott, B4MV.
Oh, hey, Scott.
Hey,
how are you?
What's going on, guys?
Where'd you move to?
Huh?
Remember when I did the roll call, I said, before you moved? What does your screen name mean, Scott?
It's a bullet for my Valentine. It's a Welsh metal band that no one, that not many people have heard of.
This is going to make me old, but my son listens to them.
A Welsh metal band?
Yeah,
I love
pretty
it.
Good.
I'm going to have to check them out. I'm a metal man myself.
Yeah,
back
not
in the
bad.
Day. All right, I'll
Judas
check
Priest.
Out. Bullet for my Valentine. So go ahead, Scott. What's your comment or question?
You guys were talking about Larry Brooks before. And do you guys have Bob McKenzie's Twitter account?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever see the stuff that goes back and forth between those two?
No.
No, I haven't, actually. Do they go at it?
Yeah, like Bob McKenzie will say something, and then Larry Brooks will retweet it with his little comment, just like bashing McKenzie as much as possible. And then McKenzie will go back at him. Subscribe to both of them. It's hysterical.
I never thought of that.
It's some of the funniest stuff. Like, just recently...
Wait, talk about a mismatch.
Huh?
Yeah.
Talk about a hockey knowledge mismatch there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
anyone of us.
So, I mean, is the banter like, is it, you know, is it P PG rated? I mean, do they call each other names, or they just kind of make fun of each other's information?
Yeah, it's basically they make fun of each other's info. Like recently, somebody, McKenzie said something about Havlat in Minnesota, and Larry Brooks goes, oh, yeah, that's great because Havlat was injured for most of the season. So what are you saying, McKenzie? Like, it's just the funniest stuff, the two of them going back and forth.
I got to check that out because I love all that stuff. Especially in the summer, I'll be on the road, and you know, I'll be tweeting from the road. I'll look it up. That's funny. And like Mandoff said, you're talking about a McKenzie who's like a hockey information deity, and he's talking, and Brooks is a peon. I mean, he really is. In the hockey world, no one's asking Larry Brooks what the inside scoop is.
Oh, yeah, Brooks is in.
Good night, everybody. We'll catch you next Wednesday. All right, we're going to podcast.
So that's interesting to know. And where do you stand, Scott, on these other deals? You know, as far as Zverev and what have you. Scott?
Still there?
Scott?
Oh, okay. I guess we lost Scott.
I guess he didn't realize we were. Well, I guess I should have said I was leaving him on until the podcast, but oh well.
All right. Well, that's the end of our show.
Spare no expense on the music.
High production values here at Blue and a Radio.
That's right. We've got a huge musical budget.
Jim, I saw your wife wasn't happy that the Kwans were ousted and lost, as well as Saeed.
She was very upset. She was very upset. But she read it an interesting theory last night that someone posted that the black smoke monster is actually the good guy, and that Jacob is actually the bad guy, and that if you ever read the book Watership Down, which Sawyer has been spotted reading in two different universe or two different realities, in the book, the black smoke, which is a train, is actually the good guy and only kills the bad bunnies, I think it is, or something like that. And the supposed good guy or the white, you know, whatever it is, only kills everyone. The good, you know, the good and everyone else. You know, Jacob killed the Dharma Initiative. They, you know, it was pretty. If I still have it, I'll email it to you. I can't really describe it as well as it was written, but it's an interesting. Lost. Don't you watch Lost?
Oh, no, I don't. I'm sorry. No, I never have. But what the hell is this? You're talking about smoke attacking things?
Yeah, we only got 2 weeks left and then the big Sunday finale. So, yeah, my wife was not happy.
All right, guys. Yeah. Mandoff, glad to hear from you, man. I really appreciate you calling in. Good to hear from you.
Oh, it's always
easy. Yeah, same here, Mandar.
You guys are awesome. I'm going to try to be on a little bit more consistently now.
All right, brother, man. Take care.
All right, guys.
All right,
fellas.
Have a good night. Good night.
Yeah, bye, Jim.
Bye.